Let us pray. Father, here we thank you for another opportunity to come and study the word of truth tonight. We pray as we study, Lord, that we as saints in the body of Christ, that we are encouraged and that we are enlightened in your holy scriptures and by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, that you give us that understanding of your holy scriptures, that you guide us in all your truths. We pray that when we come away from this study tonight, that we are edified as saints in the body of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the gospel tonight, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved. And we thank you for that gospel, Lord Jesus. Thank you for our Lord and Savior did at Calvary's cross. Lord, but the Bible says, the word of God says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank God for the gospel. Amen. We thank God for the gospel, my brothers and sisters. And the gospel means good news, and that is that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved. My brothers and sisters, we've been discussing Romans 1 and when God abandons a society, and when a society decides that they do not want to follow God's truth, my brothers and sisters. Now, we're going to sum this up tonight. God's solution for those struggling with sexual immorality. My brothers and sisters, the first thing we look for in a society, if we're trying to discern whether God has abandoned that society and a society that has rejected God's truth, is whether or not that society has gone through a sexual revolution so that illicit sex, adultery, every form of immorality is accepted as normal in that society. And I guarantee you, we are there today. The second step is the progression. Verse 26 of Romans 1 said God gave them over, not just to passions that are explicable, but because they're men and women, but to inexplicable, degrading passions for their women, exchange a natural function for that which is unnatural. You know a society has been abandoned by God when it celebrates sexual immorality. Let me say that again. You know a society has been abandoned by God when it celebrates sexual immorality. We are all born into a sin-sick world. Not only are we born into a fallen world because of sin, but we are born with sin natures. The impact of sin is passed down through generations. Everyone has a sin nature and a propensity to sin. Not everyone's propensity to sin is the same. So the question is, did God make anyone gay? The answer is no. Homosexual leaning or desires are the result of sin in some way, either directly or indirectly. But God did not make anyone gay. As the culture has consistently shifted to a pro-gay position, it has then turned to us, the church, and said, shift with us. That's what the society wants us to do in the body of Christ. It wants us to shift with them. And by and large, we are to stand, my brothers and sisters, firm on God's word and let them know we will not shift with them. Hence, when we do not shift with them, persecution surely will come, my brothers and sisters. In all fairness, we in the body of Christ didn't ask for this fight. We didn't go out into this culture to instigate a battle, my brothers and sisters. Rather, the culture began saying to us, we have changed and we now want you to change with us. And the more we are pressured to make that change, the more we are digging in our heels and saying we will not give in to Satan and his policies of evil. God has given them over. Gross affection, unnatural, unthinkable. Satan has methods of attacking Christians. The media is more interested in perverting something good and emphasizing illicit sexual behavior. If you saturate yourself with the media, you are sure to lose the battle against your particular sin. My brothers and sisters, you would be better off reading your Bible and filling your head with all that worthless mass media. Satan is after your mind, and you have to be sure not to let him have it. As long as your mind is controlled by God's word, Satan does not have a chance. In this world of people attempting to redefine culture norms and standards, various slogans have been invented and offered as justification. For example, here's a convenient method of excusing homosexuality today. I can be gay and marry whoever I want. After all, I'm not hurting anyone. It is really possible to break from such social ideas and not be injurious to some degree. Is it really possible? No. How should we respond to this argument? For what said the scriptures? My brothers and sisters, Satan has deceived many into thinking that as long as we stay in our lane and don't affect someone else's ride, we should be allowed to drive as we see fit. Herein is the problem. We see fit. It's misleading because it is selfish living. It is not living as the Lord God sees fit, but living as we see fit. This is sin, us doing our own thing. Destruction and disaster are sure to follow. Looking beyond all the slogans and arguments man has devised to justify his wickedness, we can see sin laid bare. Allowing the scriptures to speak, the fact is inescapable. We are all sinners, all falling short of God's glory. He has set the standards, not we ourselves. What he says is right, not we ourselves. Sin is disregarding his purpose and plan for creation. It goes beyond homosexual behavior. If the activity is not in accordance with sound Bible doctrine, it is sin, period. The good news, literally, the gospel, is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and that he rose again on the third day, 1 Corinthians 3:4. Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross to shed his sinless blood that he may pay for everything that is wrong with you and me. All our sins, whatever they are, how many they are, can be forgiven the very moment, this very moment. God's love and grace can overcome anything and everything we have done wrong. Will you trust Christ as your personal Savior, thereby receiving God's righteousness and eternal home in heaven? If you have not, you are strongly urged to do so, my friends. Even as Christians, ambassadors for Christ, we can be poor examples to others. We can and must hold true to what we believe God's words say on any issue, including homosexuality, as well as any other sins. It is possible to love others and not agree with areas in which they live their life. It is possible to be like Jesus, stay committed to God's way, and still be a light in their life. There is no reason believers should change beliefs on what Scripture says in order to keep a relationship with another person. The activities in which we engage may be a stumbling block to those around us who do not engage in those activities, but may do so now that they see us doing them. Romans 14:13 says, Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. 1 Corinthians 8:9, but take heed lest by any man this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. If we have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we need to be careful to think and walk as Christians, paying special attention to the Apostle Paul's writings, Romans through Philemon. Our unruly behavior is an occasion for others to be encouraged to follow our poor pattern. Not only does sin harm others, it harms us, it harms others. Man is doubtless an intelligent, rational being. However, he does not use his impressive mental faculties to arrive at the truth. Actually, he will intentionally suppress the truth if you look at Romans 1. The human heart, our heart is evil beyond comprehension. Unless the Bible told us of our sin problem, we would have never known. The heart would have indicated to us. In fact, without the scripture set the standard and defined boundaries, we would have thought of ourselves as pretty good. But Romans 3:23 makes that famous all-encompassing statement, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Compared to one sinner, we do not look that bad. Then compared to another sinner, we appeared wicked. Now let us take up God's righteousness and standards and look at it. Everyone is equally evil. That leveling removes all pride. Sin is not measuring up to a life that worships the Creator's God. It is conduct that does not match his life. Sin is a departure from the path that God has intended man, us to follow when he put Adam in the Garden of Eden. John 3:4 says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Isaiah 53:6 defines sin as follows. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. In addition to man doing his own thing, he has also concocted defenses to rationalize his wicked behavior. This is the case with each and every sin, not just homosexuality. If we study Genesis chapter 3, we see the defense of blame shifting. My brothers and sisters, we see that the woman said to the serpent, beguile her. Adam blamed Eve. When asked why she sinned, she blamed Satan, Eve. So we see these excuses. My brothers and sisters, it's not my fault. He made me do it. She made me do it. Or the sinner finds relief in two other people. The firstly, it is God made me do it, for he made me this way. Secondly, it is Satan made me do it, for he tempted me. Respectively, these are repetitions of Adam's excuse and Eve's excuse of long ago. Satan has deceived many through his counterfeit system. Many, as long as I'm not hurting anyone, I can do whatever I want. If we reduce the severity of our sinful actions to this clever expression, then we have truly failed to comprehend the magnitude of sin itself. If God says not to do it, then it is a sinful act. Any and every deviation from God's path is repulsive to him. Whether angels or people, if they live contrary to how the God's path, to how God created, designed life to function, they are guilty of sin. They are falling short of God's glory. My brothers and sisters, there are many who say I never married because I didn't have an attraction to females and have always known how God feels. I know there are many in the body of Christ who struggle with the thoughts and feelings of homosexuality but are afraid to talk about it. There are many who love the Lord and continue to pray he would take those unnatural feelings away. And many are questioning their salvation tonight. There are many in the body of Christ that already know the doctrine, but now need to reckon it as true in their own lives as they struggle with the unnatural feelings and thoughts of homosexuality. There needs to be a personal application by faith. Let me say this for those struggling tonight, and that is, you are not alone. All we believers struggle with certain types of sin. We all, as individuals, have tendencies towards particular sinful behavior. It may be habitual lying, persistent pride, constant profanity, endless gossip, incessant bad thoughts. Your situation is not the actual behavior, but bad thoughts and feelings. Your thinking has to be corrected. We have to remember that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. That is true of both the saved man's flesh and the lost man's flesh. They are all connected to Adam. Our emotions deceive. Our feelings can deceive. While we have trusted Christ, our redeemed, we have not left these sinful bodies of flesh. My brothers and sisters, we have to have our minds renewed by God's word, rightly divided. The only objective standard we can trust is the word of God. My brothers and sisters, this Bible must be done daily, studied daily. Must be studied, and you must get into it and meditate and walk in it. Satan is always seeking to use our flesh to hinder God's work. And the only way we can guard ourselves against these wiles, tricks, schemes is to arm ourselves with God's word rightly divided. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Many tonight say they are struggling with those old feelings, and that they are still after them. Those feelings keep coming up. That's exactly what they are. They are indeed old. They are not who you are anymore. Let me say that to you tonight. They do not describe your life in Christ. They describe sinful behavior, the actions of the flesh, not sound doctrine. My brothers and sisters, those illicit feelings and thoughts describes your former life in Adam. You are a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That old identity you had in Adam is no more. You need to think according to your new identity, the one you have in Christ. This is God's solution for those who are struggling with any type of sin, and those who are struggling with sexual immorality. My brothers and sisters, consider 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Paul said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit our God. My brothers and sisters, take notice of what kinds of people the Apostle Paul had preached to there in Corinth. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate. In other words, men acting like women, feminine men, abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, evil speakers of others, extortioners, cheaters, and such, he says, were some of you. They had been those things. But once Paul had preached to them the gospel of the grace of God, they had believed that message with all their heart, they positionally ceased to be those things. God did not see them as sinners anymore, positionally. Yes, they still sin and practice. 1 Corinthians 5:1-5, 1 Corinthians 11:21. But they were now saved in Christ. They were now saints. Although they were saints who did not act like the people God made them in Jesus Christ, this is where you are, my brothers and sisters. But they were now saved in Christ. They were now saints. Although they were saints who did not act like the people God made them in Jesus Christ. This is where those who are struggling tonight, this is where you are. Positionally, you are in Christ. Practically, mentally, you are not aligning with the standing you have in Christ. Let us read the rest of the passage. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You need to reckon this verse as true. I am sanctified, set apart for God's purpose. I am justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit has sanctified me and justified me. Believe these truths in your heart, and God's word will effectually work in you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, that will activate God's word and power in your life to make the changes that need to be made. Your flesh, my flesh, everyone's flesh always worked in tandem with Satan. It causes us to think a lie is reality. You are having these feelings and thoughts because you have not let God's word renew your mind. Because you are in Jesus Christ, you are a Christian. You are not a homosexual. You are a saint of the Most High God, my friend. Whatever thoughts and actions you do not align with your identity in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, throw them out. be transformed by reading and believing Romans chapter 12, Galatians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 4, and Colossians chapter 3. These are all excellent passages that touch on every major issue in life and how to go about it as God himself would. Galatians 5, 24 through 25 seem to be some of the best verses for your situation. You need to reckon them as true in your own life. And here it is, and they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The fact is that you are Jesus Christ. You belong to him. You are not Satan. You do not belong to him. All those old feelings, the affections and the lusts, not just sexual, but also greed, pride, coveting, and all those desires we experience have been crucified with the flesh. When Jesus Christ died, we died too. Romans 6:6 says, our old man was crucified with him. A dead man has no power. Let me say that again. A dead man has no power. Do not let your old lifestyle and your sin nature control your life now. You know what God says about your particular sin. You know the Holy Spirit would not lead you to have those homosexual feelings. The Holy Spirit would guide you in these Bible truths. You are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:11. Sin is not to have dominion over you. The Spirit of God is to have control of your life. You are free from sin. Not free, but notice what I said. You are freed from sin. Not free. I didn't say free, F-R-E, but freed. We still sin, but we do not have to. A lost person has no ability to stop sin, but we in Jesus Christ have the ability to stop it. When we as Christians sin, it was because we thought like lost people. We thought that was the only action we could take. We forgot that God's power saved us from that sinful identity. And now he can save us from that sinful behavior. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imagination to every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here is that battle between good and evil of which we are all part. Imaginations are fantasies, concepts that we invent in our minds. They are not reality. They are literally figments of our imagination. Whatever does not agree with the knowledge of God, his word right about it, throw it out. This helps you concerning your feelings and thoughts. You are to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is not you making your thoughts obedience to Jesus Christ. This is not you making your thoughts obedient to Jesus Christ. Rather, it is you taking your thoughts and seeing whether or not they agree with Jesus Christ's finished cross work. His obedience to Father God, Romans 5:19, Philippians 2:8, Hebrews 5:8. Do my thoughts agree with my new identity in Christ? Yes or no? Does this activity belong in my life? Ask yourself that yes or no. Is this effectively communicating to others the doctrine of Calvary that I believe? Yes or no. Is this a good work that the Spirit of God produced in and through me? Yes or no. Whenever you answer no, replace that bad thought deed with a verse and its resulting action. Let me say this to those struggling with thoughts and feelings around homosexuality. And that is, you have no reason to ever tell anyone about these feelings, including your siblings. That is like someone going around saying, I like to steal, lie, and cheat. That's your business. Whatever specific sins you're struggling with, you have no reason to confess your sins to anyone. You have the choice to confide in a trusted, mature saint who truly know God's word rightly divided. Someone who truly walks in the Spirit It's not going to confession to a priest and saying, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. God already knows your sins, and he already took care of them at Calvary. Think like that. Jesus put away my sins by the sacrifice of himself. And now I put away my sins by the sacrifice of him, too. I have been raised again to walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:4. All of Romans chapter 6 through 8 are great helps. Something I want us to all remember is the truth, and the truth is that God will not take those unnatural feelings away. So do not set up yourself for disappointment by asking him. We all have bad thoughts of some kind, and we will have to daily suppress them with verses until we get to heaven. But there is good news. What God has done is provide a way for us to think on something else. What are you talking about, preacher? Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be by any praise, think on these things. We can think on his word and what he has done for us at Calvary's cross so long ago. To think on his word and what he has done for us. The power of God over that sin is manifested when you overcome that sin by faith in Christ, not when that temptation is removed. As 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Bear the temptations, my brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit has equipped us to bear it. What did Paul finally learn about his troubles in 2 Corinthians 12:9? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's grace is enough to get you through all temptations. His grace is the strength you receive by way of his Holy Spirit, using verses you've studied to cause you to not grow weary or fall apart when facing trying times, difficulties, and troubles. My brothers and sisters, we will all have our downfalls. For many, it would take some time before they can wrap their mind around these Bible verses. That is what spiritual growth is all about. There are times when those immoral thoughts will come back. That is when our mind is drifting away from reality. We need to bring our thoughts back in line with what we know about the doctrine of grace. That is not who I am anymore. That is the flesh. That is not sound doctrine. And that does not belong in my life. I am a new creature in Christ. I am dead to sin and alive unto God. Those affections and lusts have been crucified with Christ. He died for that sin. He put it away now, and I put it away. Christ liveth in me. I live by his faith, his faithfulness. The Corinthians were the most carnal, fleshly, worldly Christians in the Bible. They were drunken. They sued one another. They abused spiritual gifts. They fought and argued. One believer was sexually involved with his stepbrother. They questioned Paul's apostleship. They were dabbling in false religion. Certainly not the epitome of righteousness, huh? Never once did Paul question their salvation. In fact, he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians 8:9, God, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Corinthians were unfaithful, no question about it. They had so hindered the Holy Spirit from having an effect on them. They were such poor examples of Christian living. And yet Paul said God would confirm them blameless until the day they would go to heaven. Jesus Christ had taken care of their blame at Calvary. The same with all of us. God is faithful. We should be glad that our salvation unto eternal life is not dependent upon our faithfulness. We would never be saved. Father God is faithful, and the fellowship Jesus Christ has with his Father, we have that relationship with Father God. It is all because of Jesus Christ and what he did. not because of what we do or do not do. Paul even called these Corinthians brethren in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul never doubted their salvation. He knew the Corinthian believers were the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelt in them, 1 Corinthians 3:16. He just asked them, know ye not, to cause them to remember something they had forgotten. Like the Corinthians, many in the body of Christ have been distracted from their Christian identity. They are living inconsistent with those Jesus, and they are beating themselves up over it. We all have a problem, but Jesus Christ took care of it. Our performance never saved us, and our performance will certainly never keep us saved. Let us go out of the burdens, my brothers and sisters. Let go of the burdens, my brothers and sisters. Enjoy God's joy and peace and believe in these simple truths. Romans 15:3. God accepts us in the beloved, his son, Ephesians 1:6. You need not look for love or acceptance anywhere else, my brothers and sisters. He has accepted us in the beloved. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to come tonight. We pray as those who listen in, that they were encouraged and that they were enlightened in your holy scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.